Joseph M. Ashley, a doctor of rehabilitation and nationally recognized industry leader who is blind, brings a personal commitment and over 30 years of leadership in developing services and creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support their choice to live, work, and thrive in their communities.
Hello, and welcome to The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Are you an individual who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what services, new information, activities, or other types of services might be available to improve your life experience? Or are you an individual who has a family member or a friend who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what might be out there to help their life experience? With this new podcast series, we hope to create an opportunity for you to learn more about these services, resources, and whatever might be available to improve the blind experience. To accomplish this, we'll be discussing and examining resources, services, and issues related to the blind experience with individuals who are experts in the field, and many of whom are blind or have low vision themselves. So whether you're an individual who is blind and having some issues or just curious, or an individual who is going through a diagnosis at this time, or dealing with the issues of a degenerative eye disease, or otherwise just curious about the blind experience, hopefully you will find something in these discussions that will benefit you. I'll be bringing my perspective as an individual who was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa while in college and lost vision gradually until the age of 40, where I became totally blind. The podcast will use this personal frame of reference to examine the blind experience, providing information that will enhance the ability of individuals who are blind and vision impaired to live, work, and thrive in their communities. So, let's get started. Welcome to today's episode of The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Today you're in for a real treat. We have Dr. Greg Vanderheiden with us. Greg is the director of the TRACE Center Research and Demonstration Project and a professor at the University of Maryland in their College of Information Studies. Greg is a true pioneer in assistive technology, starting with many projects, including augmentative communications and other types of assistive technology. In fact, some of his early writing is what gave us the term augmented communications.
Augmentative communications.
Augmentative communications. Greg is one of those thought leaders that's also an individual who, after they've come up with some of the thoughts, has put them into production. His work and that of his research teams can be found in ticket kiosks in various locations like Amtrak stations, maybe airports, even the Postal Service machines. He's also one of the individuals who was on the team that developed the talking book digital machine for the Library of Congress Talking Books Projects, the BARD system. So with that, I'm going to say, Greg, we are just really excited to have you with us today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Now, Greg, you've been at this for 50 years, and you've been part of helping make assistive technology come alive. I know that you've been, some of your work can be seen in the accessibility that's in Linux, in iOS, in Windows, and the Mac, all the different projects that are programs that have computer access and the web accessibility. I want to get into the discussion on your Morphic project, but I'd also like to hear a little bit about the global public inclusion infrastructure. I guess that's a program or a project that you're involved with. Could you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, the Global Public Inclusive Infrastructure, or GPII, was something that we began about 10 years ago when we saw how thoroughly the digital technologies are being incorporated into our societies. The goal was to figure out how to ensure that people who can't use ICT because of disability or literacy or digital literacy or aging would have the tools and be able to access it, because, well, basically everything is going to be done through these technologies as we go forward, and COVID it made it even more so. So there were three major legs to it when we launched the effort. we saw three big problems. One is that people didn't know what was out there. There weren't solutions for everybody. And even when they were there, they were too hard to use. So we had three major efforts we launched. One of them was to create a unified listing, and that's available now. It provides a listing of all of the devices and software internationally from any country that would help you to be able to access ICT. And you can find that by going to gpii.net, and there'll be a link to it as well as the other two legs. The second one was to make it easier to develop new solutions. And so we created the developer space. And that's a really great resource for anybody interested in this field. There's a master list of all of the different strategies for all disabilities to access ICT there, along with free software links and shareware and other types of links for each different technique. And then the third one was to try to make it a lot easier to use the solutions when they were there. And that's where Morphic came from.
So basically, if an individual is looking for some types of technology that might help make their lives simpler or better access, I guess I should say, they can go to that gpii.net and search on the tabs there to find different products that might be available to them, it sounds like.
Yes, if they go to gpii.net and then click on the unified listing. We have actually five different ways of searching. One of them looks sort of like Google. You just type some words in. But there's also a guided one for people who don't know what words to type in. And there's even one that says, well, I heard of this aid. Can you show me what else is like it? And you can type in something and it'll tell you other aids that are like it and other things that would be for the same group, et cetera. And then there's an expert search function as well.
So it gives people an opportunity to really learn what might be there to help them with whatever the issue is they're working on. And it sounds like the other part of that project where you've got the developers there, that's a part of making sure people who are putting things together can start with accessibility in mind if they're putting together a piece of software?
Right. Or anybody who just wants to learn about accessibility. We try to put anything that would be a resource because everyone who is going to make something accessible needs to first learn about disability, right?
That's a good point.
And so it's a really good point to start at to try to find, and we have a number of quick sheets, which is a short list of all of the things about. So we'll have a quick sheet about a particular topic like PDF. There are actually PDF readers that will reflow the text if you have low vision. And that's normally PDFs don't do that, but this one does. And it's free and it's open source and it comes on, you know, all the different platforms. But people don't know about it.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. You go to PDF, just search under PDF under the quick sheets and you'll see all the different PDF readers and which ones have which features, but there's only one that really does it all. It's the VIP reader. It's developed by a group in Europe.
So it basically sets the stage so that people who are interested in these different opportunities and those that are developing can get a background so they understand why they're putting those kind of pieces of software or code in there to make sure things are accessible or how to access other things that might make their products more accessible.
Right. And there's also the problem that people think that accessibility is you do these two things.
Yeah.
And so you can in the master list, you can pick any particular disability you want to, and it'll collapse the list to just the strategies for that disability. But when you design a product, a public product, you can't design it for one disability at a time. You really want to be looking at the whole picture. How do you design something that works across disabilities?
That makes a lot of sense. You know, I have been on some web platforms where their accessibility expert told me that I just needed to go to this one tab and then hit tab 23 times and I'd be at the place I needed to be. And although it would read it to me, I it's hard to keep 23 tabs in my head as I'm counting them. So it may have passed code from somebody for being compliant, but it sure wasn't very user-friendly. So I think it's the kind of thing you're doing is going to make a lot of this infrastructure a lot easier on those of us that have to get out and get on the web and trying to do things.
Another problem is that people always assume that if you have a disability, you got to get out of jail free for all other disabilities. And that doesn't work. So
no, it doesn't.
You need to figure out how to design things. And this is why it's kind of hard for all of the different types, degrees, and combinations of types and degrees. And that's really can be hard if you try to do it, you know, like one thing at a time. But you don't really. If you really look at it holistically, you say, here are all the things you do, and then it becomes, you know, cross-disability accessible and multi-disability accessible. And that's the way you need to approach it.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And one of the other things I really wanted to talk about today is the morphic. You mentioned that as a third leg on the GPII project. And could you tell us more about that?
Sure. It started out as being just what we would call auto-personalization, which meant that when you sat down to a device, you'd have stored what your needs and preferences were, and it would automatically set that computer up to be so that you could use it, or that ATM, or that whatever device you sat down to. So we started doing this, but when we started going out and applying it, we found that it's not good enough to capture the settings and move them around if people have no idea what the settings are in the first place, mm-hmm. or people are just afraid to use the computer in the first place. We went to an American Job Center, and one person was sitting there, and they were standing behind someone who was sitting at one of the cubicles. And so they have 25 identical cubicles all the way down to every sign is in exactly the same place. You can't tell one from the other. But there's a whole bunch of them empty. There's three mm-hmm. of them used, and he's standing behind this person. He stood there for 20 minutes, and then he left. Came back a couple hours later, and when it was empty, he sat down. So he asked him, you know, why did you do that? And he said, well, because I know I can use this computer. And we said, well, they're all identical, you know. And he says, I don't know about that. All I know is that yesterday they showed me how to use this computer, and so I know how to use this one. And again, what he knew how to do on that one was the one thing they showed him to do. So he didn't know how to do anything else or never thought about doing anything else.
They're a bit intimidated by the machines.
They don't understand what it is. We had one person who was squinting at the machine. Her eyes were, you know, like 4 inches from the screen. And so one of our team walked over and said, oh, here, you know, just this, pick this little card here. See, it says, you know, magnify. Just touch it here, and everything got bigger. Oh, that's fantastic. So why don't you try it? So she touches it. She comes back at the end of the session when she's walking out, and she says, oh, thank you. It was so much easier to use today. A week later, she's back squinting at the screen. Came back and said, well, you know, why didn't you just use the card like I showed you last time? And it was like, oh, I was afraid I might break the machine. Mm. And so even though we showed it to them, it was a very simple thing, mm-hmm. Et cetera, they were afraid to use it. So we thought, well, this is a person who hasn't used a computer before. We heard the same thing from a community college. So then we said, oh, well, that's community college. We heard the same thing from students at a research university. When I sit down to a computer, I'm afraid to do anything other than just something that I did before because I'm afraid I'll break the computer. So when we created Morphic, in addition to just moving people's settings around, we created something called a Morphic Bar, which puts all of the most used controls right on the screen. So there's one called Text Size. And so you're sitting looking at the screen, it's too small, and right at the bottom is a button that says Text Size, plus minus. And you click on the plus, and everything on the screen gets larger. Now, what we really did is we go inside the control panels of the computer, and in there, there are little settings you can do that will make everything on the screen larger. But nobody will go into the control panels. They don't know that they're there. They're afraid to go into the control panels because they're afraid they'll break the computer. But if it's right there on the front, it looks like a control. And it also doesn't look like a disability control. So people who'd have trouble seeing but are worried about stigma, it's just it's like a volume control. You don't feel like
it's not a big deal.
That's right. It doesn't feel like it's you get something if you turn the volume up because you're having trouble hearing, but you can turn the screen size up. And so that's what the Morphic is. So it's a strip of, it's a combination of a strip on the bottom that lets you controls. And then it also provides the ability to easily save your settings and move them between. And it also allows you to be able to change other settings very easily in the computer.
So it basically is a tool that for individuals at the bottom of their screen to make it easier for them to adjust the settings to fit what their needs are.
Correct. The one we just released is the ability to create a custom bar that goes down the side of the screen. And you can have each of the buttons on the bar be anything you want it to. So if you were using it for somebody who has trouble using computers, they just are always confused. You can put a button for mail. You can put a button for photos of the grandchildren if it's an older person. If it's somebody at work, you can put a button for each of the different places they have to go for getting their tasks or for getting information or a knowledge base. You can have a button that you click on and it drops them right into a weekly meeting they have to be at. So people who are struggling to, you know, make things work or figure out how to do them, they literally have this sort of strip of buttons down the side, and each button, bing, they're there. Click and they're on this. Click and they're in their email. Click and they're in the knowledge base. Click and they can drop into a call with their boss. So they aren't having to worry about launching and closing programs and finding which window they're in, et cetera.
So the concept here is that you make it as user-friendly as possible and as functional for that individual through the customization so that what they need to do on a given day can be easily accessed.
Right. So for people who get confused, it can be the way that they can now master something or use something they wouldn't be able to. For other people, it just may make it just a lot faster or easier if they're always fumbling around and searching around between windows, something actually that we all sort of have a problem with.
Yeah. Or maybe you could put the Zoom stuff on there so they just push a button in there and can get to a Zoom meeting.
We do. In fact, this is one of the problems we have, people who are dealing with people who are older.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me, and I thought this was an interesting story until six other people have told me that they have the same problem. And that is that they have a family meeting, especially during COVID, every week. And every week they have to call either grandma or grandpa or mom or dad 20 minutes before the Zoom call to get them into the Zoom room. One of them was saying his father was a physics professor. And every week, it's not just, you know, for a couple of weeks, it's every week, and it's been months and months and months, he has to call him. And every week, it's starting over from scratch and slowly getting them so they could be on to the Zoom meeting. So when the rest of the family joined in, they were there. And with Morphic, you just have one button. They just click, and it doesn't just launch Zoom. It drops them right into the meeting so they can join the meeting in a second. And you can do that, you know, for calls, same thing, Skype, Zoom, whatever you like.
Yeah, whatever, whichever one of the platforms you choose. That's pretty handy.
We even found one company, Nobility, who's doing user testing with people who have disabilities, and they're testing all of these other websites. And so what they've done is they said, well, you know, what we need to do is to create a little bar so that when we have these testers, they have a bar, and on there it has all of the different things that they need to be able to use to test it, to report it, to do whatever. And they can just change that each time they do a test. And then it's so much easier because they spend lots of time making sure everybody's got the right page in front of them. And then they put their comments in the right page and they get the right click to be able to link into the Zoom meeting for doing the recording session and everything else. So it's lots of uses.
That's a huge workflow advantage.
We all struggle.
Yes.
And for those of us who use technology and are considered to be good at technology, if we have trouble at all, that's a sure sign that somebody else is either just really struggling or they just plain give up. Or people who just, it's a whole part of life or job or employment that's just, they figure it's outside of their reach and they don't even try.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too much trouble is the thing I hear. I don't want to do that because it's too much trouble.
Mm-hmm. If they just go to Morphic, MORPHIC.org, you'll find information about it. There's short 2-minute videos demonstrating it. So almost every page has a little short video on it that you can see more about it. There's a Get Morphic button at the top of the screen. Click on that, and you can download either for Mac or for PC for Windows. There's also on that same page, if you scroll down a little bit, it says you can sign up for the early release program. The version we have called Plus Subscription that allows you to create your own custom Morphic bars and everything else we talked about is available free to anybody for the next month or two. And if they sign up and are using it in this early period, it's actually free for life. So that this is an opportunity for people to get it. And they can use it to set up custom Morphic bars for themselves or for other loved ones.
Oh, wow. So there is an opportunity here to try this out and see if you like it and even take a step further if you're interested in that customization process.
Right.
That sounds excellent.
The version for institutions, there's also a free version for institutions, so they can put it on, and it gives them the basic Morphic bar and the ability to have people sign in. And if they have their free version on at a library, for example, and then somebody comes in who has their own custom Morphic bars, if they sign in on that free version, the person's custom Morphic bars will show up on that one too. So any institution who wants to install Morphic can install it for free as
well. Greg, it's been delightful to talk with you today, and I really appreciate your taking the time to bring us up to speed on Morphic and provide us the information on that global infrastructure project. I think that's going to be a real game changer for a lot of us out there, and we do appreciate all your efforts. You've been a true pioneer in this process.
Thank you. It's been a very, very rewarding, and there's no greater field to work in, I think. The people that you meet in this field are tremendous. So it's been a delight and a pleasure.
Well, I do agree with that. And with that, we say thanks. Thank you for listening in today on The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. I hope you found some information that was useful to you, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode.